Good evening and welcome to this evening's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the City Council meeting for September 15th, 2015. The time right now is 7 p.m. Ms. Smoot, will you call the roll, please?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Cuddeback, Rasmussen, Camp, Davis, Gamble, and Gearing.
Great. Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen, will you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item that we have this evening on our agenda, this is under announcements and presentations, is a proclamation. Now, this proclamation is for Constitution Week. Whereas on September 17th, 1787, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, did ordain and establish the Constitution of the United States of America. And whereas the Constitution of the United States establishes governance for our republic with checks and balances among legislative, executive, and judicial branches, provisions for states, and rights, responsibilities, and protections for our citizens. And whereas we must be actively engaged in our own governance, which requires we understand the Constitution of the United States to ensure, as President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed in the Gettysburg Address, that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. And whereas official recognition commemorating the 228th anniversary of the adoption of the Constitution of the United States should encourage us to reflect upon and give thanks for the blessings, ideals, and way of life established by the Constitution. Now, therefore, I, Jeffrey Thomas, proclaim September 17th through September 23rd, 2015 as Constitution Week in the City of Monroe. And Carol and Lynn from the Daughters of American Revolution are here this evening to accept this on behalf of their organization. And I understand this will be displayed at the Monroe Library in commemoration of this week. So please come forward.
Before I hand this to you, would you like to say any words?
Oh, I'll say one. We have opening exercises, and one of the things that we say during the open exercise is we have a goodly nation, a goodly heritage, and that's it.
And the display is already at the Monroe Library. It'll be there all month. They informed us next month it's empty, so we might just leave it for another month and then everybody see.
Well, thank you both very much.
Thank you very much. Okay, the next item that we have on our agenda this evening is a presentation from our municipal court judge, Rosano. Judge Rosano, please come forward.
Good evening. It's been almost a year since you selected me to be the municipal court judge here in Monroe, and I guess you selected me earlier than that. It's been about a year since I actually started doing some work here. We hit the ground running. I have three wonderful employees that have made my life amazingly easy as the new judge here. You all know Pam Haley, my court administrator. She keeps everything running just as well as possible. She's the best. I have Shalene Rosenbeck, who is my court clerk. She sits in the court with me. She helps keep things going there. She's part-time. She does all the entries. And then we have Daryl Johnson, who is our marshal. And again, what a wonderful addition, because he is so familiar with the citizens of Monroe, not just those who frequent our court, but all the citizens, because he was a very, very active officer and grew up here. So from that perspective, he is often greeting people and diffusing situations before they even come into the courtroom because of his presence. So all of that works wonderfully to make it very easy for me to do my job. We have had, like I said, we hit the ground running on January 1. We've had a few glitches, but not terribly many. We've worked through with the jail, the Snohomish County Jail. We've had some problems with them recognizing that we were a different court, and so they were sending information to other people, but not to me, for review. We got that cleared up very quickly. They worked with us. Tony Aston over there has been willing to work with us and kind of keep us apprised. We keep letting him know if there's any problems, and that works out pretty well. The chief is here, and his department has worked with us to be able to transport in-custody individuals over, and we've actually had quite a few individuals brought over. We've had, so far, 149 inmates brought in. If you, you know, we're only here once a week, so we've brought quite a few inmates over for court. I think one week I made life very difficult for the chief because I had 9 of them, and that kind of jostled us to realize that we need to look into some alternatives because we're taking manpower off the streets when we have those people here, and often the people who are in custody are the ones who need a little bit more work, and so the time commitment in the courtroom is also going to take up. So we're looking into potential video court. We've been pricing out different options for that and looking at that as a way of perhaps alleviating some of the problem. I can tell you that we are right now well ahead of the filings from last year. Last year, I'll give you some numbers. I know you don't want a whole lot of numbers, so I won't waste a whole lot of time with those, but just as an idea, the infractions that were filed last year were 2,143 for the entire year, and from January to August, we've already filed 2,605, so that's how many have come through. We averaged 30 contested hearings a month. Last year it was 20. We averaged 60 mitigation hearings a month. Last year it was 40. Again, we are well ahead of the numbers as far as the number of criminal cases. Last year, DUIs for the whole year were 47. This year we have 38 so far already. Traffic misdemeanors was 77 last year, 85 this year already. And then the non-traffic misdemeanors were 333. Last year, we're already at 363. We've been doing this, again, because I have a great staff. We are, you know, we're hitting numbers that are higher than what were anticipated, but we're still keeping it within that one day of court. It seems to be working out. We've got some plans and some hopes, and I'm going to wrap it up here. You know, there was never, in my understanding, an idea that this was a revenue court. That would be a very bad thing if we had that idea. And that's not my intention as the judge. But my intention is, in a different way, to benefit the city of Monroe, in that if we address some of these issues, studies have shown repeatedly that it is the smaller crimes that if you focus on those, it has the effect of eliminating some of the bigger crimes. And it makes it a community that's more enjoyable to live in and a community that's more enjoyable to do work in if you're able to address some of those on the street, you know, the aggressive panhandling, the petty thefts, the shoplifts, those kinds of things. If you're able to address those, it has that long-term effect. And the reality is that what we've had, we've had the benefit of full courtroom when I say, you violated my conditions by committing a new offense, you're going to jail. And that spreads like wildfire. They talk to each other and it spreads. So I don't know, I can't tell you, yes, we're having a positive effect yet. The other thing we're also looking into is that there are potentials for some alternatives. And we wanted to get our feet under us, be sure that we knew what we were doing before we started looking at alternative courts, where we're doing it kind of more of a community-based coordinated corridor. Looking at the, I get a lot of pressure from Judge Bowie about their mental health court, and just looking into, and we haven't done the research to know which court is going to fit our community the best. The National Association of Courts has done a lot of research, and so we're right at the very beginning of looking into that and seeing what we can do that might have even a more positive impact. But one of the things that I have already started doing in that line is, and this is the boring part of law, a case came out this year from our Supreme Court that said, shame on you judges for imposing fines on individuals who can't afford to pay them. That's a significant paraphrase of the case. But basically, they put the position to the court of, don't impose fines if you have an individual who's indigent. And of course, many of the people who come through the court system present as indigent. And there's, how do you prove that they're not? If are they not? Who are these individuals? So one of the things that I've addressed is, instead of, I'll impose the fines that I normally would, but I, as an incentive to try to get those people out of the system, to get them no longer committing the crimes, no longer part of the problem, many of them don't even have a high school education, so I'll give them credit towards the non-mandatory fines for getting their GED certificate. The standard or the average number of hours an individual needs to put into getting a GED certificate is about 200. So I tell them, I'll give them credit for 200 hours if they come in with the certificate. I'm not going to give them credit hour for hour as they're going along, because I don't need a partially completed GED. I need the GED. Because once they have that GED, they now have job potential, they now have the ability to get out of the system. At least they have a better ability. And so it's the incentive. This is not my idea. I stole this from another judge. But I thought that it was something that, with we have the program right here, that it is something that benefits our community. And if we can get some of these people that are repeat offenders on these petty offenses out of the system, not coming back into court, and actually productive members of society, what a benefit. And so that's where we're going with it. So I've started doing that. Again, we encourage people to do the electronic home monitoring through the police department if that is appropriate to their crime. And so with those things, we're trying to do things that will hopefully bring people around. I tell people often I don't ever want to see them again unless they're here to serve on jury duty. And that's, unfortunately we do see some of them again, but hoping not that we're chipping away. So I just want to give you a little heads up on what's happening. Any questions for me about the court or what's going on?
Council members?
Anyone? Nothing?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. The next item that we have on this evening's agenda is from comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. Public comment is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Are there any members of the public that would like to come forward to speak this evening? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Consent, council members. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Hold our motion to approve consent agenda.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Cuddeback. Any discussion on the motion to approve the consent agenda? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Please let the record show that Councilmember Hanford was not in for the vote on the consent agenda, and so the motion passed at 6-0. The next item on the agenda is executive session, and this is for potential litigation, RCW 42.30.110, subsection 1, subsection little I, subsection double little I, for approximately 20 minutes. we'll go ahead and remain here for that. going to go ahead and go into executive session now for 20 minutes. Like Dave Osaki and Chief and Brad and Mike to stay. Okay, we're back in open session. I forgot to mention before we went into executive session that Councilmember Hanford had returned to the room just before going into exec session. Mr. Will.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The next item for tonight is actually a continuation of the H3O contract discussion. You'll recall that the H3O contingent in various recent presentations to the council had proposed a second addendum to the existing concessionaire and property use agreement. At staff's direction and in conjunction with staff, we've prepared essentially a response document to that. You all have a copy of it in front of you. I believe it's been handed out. I'll go through the document very quickly in summary. The first point is that it specifically acknowledges the past overdue rent that is due, requires payment of that by a specific deadline, and that's December 1st, 2016, together with applicable interest and penalties. That's Section 1. Section 2 is either adding new definitions to the agreement or revising existing definitions. We're coming up with additional definitions for the commencement of construction for both the Phase 1 and Phase 2 aspects of the project, as H3O has recommended or proposed that they be segmented out into. In line with that general phasing approach, the proposed has specific definitions for Phase 1 facilities and Phase 2 facilities. The Phase 1 facilities would include the towers, the starting dock, and several of the other operational features, like their obstacle course, etc., while Phase 2 is consisting primarily of the building, bioinfiltration swale, a pedestrian bridge, and some landscape irrigation work. One of the most significant changes in the document as it relates to the original contract is a change in the rent commencement date. Under the proposed addendum, the rent commencement date is now commensurate with the date that the H3O contingent actually opens the Wakeboard Park for public use. In Section 3 on page 5, adding a new section to the agreement under which the agreement will automatically expire if the park is not open for any reason by June 8, 2016. There's a provision, a process in that clause by which H3O is required to formally confirm in written notice form their intent to open the park essentially a month earlier than that, and if they do not meet that deadline, the contract simply expires with no further action by either party. Section 4 changes the minimum rent provisions. It both streamlines it, gets rid of some of the awkward language of the original document, but also changes from a quarterly program to a monthly payment program. The proposed dollar figure amounts per month are the ones recommended by staff. They're at the bottom of page 5. From the rent commencement date to December 31st, 2016, it's $1,500 a month. From January 1st, 2017 through the end of the original contract term, it would be $2,000 a month, with a provision for prorating. In Section 5 on page 6, there is a construction phasing process that involves for each of the two phases of the project, H3O's submission of a concept and site plan for the specific facilities at issue. The city would then get an opportunity to review and comment on that, and H3O would then have an opportunity to come back with a revised plan that satisfies any concerns that the city would have raised. And for each of the phases of the facilities, there is a construction timeline set forth. For Phase 1, construction would need to commence no later than October 31st of this year, and would need in Phase 2 to be completed no later than March 18th, 2018. There are financial penalties if the building in Phase 2 is not completed by that date in the amount of $70 per day. Section 6, another significant proposed change of the document, establishes security requirements, essentially bonding requirements for various phases of the project. The first phase is the removal of the Phase 1 facilities in the event that the H3O group does not remove the towers and the other components of Phase 1 by the deadlines that the agreement establishes. The city would be able to call a bond to have that work done at the bonding company's expense. There are additional bonds or security mechanisms required for a completion of the building in the event that the Phase 2 facilities are partially constructed and then for whatever reason abandoned, or in the event that the Phase 2 facilities are never built in the first case. Section 7 on page 9 and 10 has a slight change to the naming rights provision. Under the proposed addendum, the city would be given a specific opportunity to comment on any proposed naming or branding effort by H3O, and then would have a certain deadline by which to either approve or disapprove of that proposal. In Section 8, there's an additional clause added to ensure that H3O is affirmatively and financially responsible for obtaining any extensions or renewals to its existing licenses, permits, or other regulatory approvals. And then finally, in Section 9, as consideration for the city postponing the rent commencement date until the opening date for several days a year, City of Monroe citizens could use the Cable Wakeboard Park for free, as this provision provides. I'd be happy to answer any questions that the council would have, and if the council would like this to be specifically proposed back to H3O without any additional changes, either a motion or council consensus should indicate that.
Thank you, Mr. Lowell. Councilmember Gehring?
Thank you. I'm going to move to direct staff to release the document to H3O for the purposes of negotiation with the text changes that were discussed earlier with during executive session. Thank you.
Second. I have a first from Councilmember Gehring, a second from Councilmember Hanford. Councilmember Gemble?
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you to staff on this and taking, you know, obviously over the last several months we have a lot of discussion, a lot of different points that we were concerned with, past due rent, wanting to get started, addressing some of the permitting concerns, just all those different points that we've talked about over the last several months, and making sure that those were addressed as we move back to the H3O, so thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
I would like to echo that. I appreciate staff looking at the timeline and keeping things moving forward and dealing with the back rent issue, which was a big issue for me. I am going to vote to move this forward to H3O to negotiate, although I've been pretty clear on how I stand hearing for the contract. I am going to vote to at least put this forward to negotiate.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
In regards to the back rent, thanks. I guess it's been my position, my feelings to that it needs to be paid before we go any further. And with the way that this is written, we are giving them more time to do it, which I don't like. So, really for those reasons, I vote no on this motion.
Okay, thank you. Anything further, Council? Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-1 with Councilmember Rasmussen voting against. Councilmember Camp, just let me know that you needed to leave. All right. The next item on the agenda this evening is unfinished business item number 2. This is AB 15-160, discussion 2015 comprehensive plan update. Mr. Osaki.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, this will be really brief. It's just a process update. So last night the planning commission met. They went through the last chapter of the comprehensive plan that they needed to go through, chapter 9, made all the edits. All the edits now have been passed on to the consultant who's making all the changes. and has been making changes as this has been going along. And according to the consultant, he hopes to get us, or the Planning Commission back, a revised copy. There's a little caveat to this. Hopefully by the end of this week or early next week. The caveat is it'll be in electronic format, so there'll be some a need to actually prepare paper copies to get to the Planning Commission. So there's a little production issue that goes along with that. But having said that, the Planning Commission is still going to meet next week, because what I need to work with the Planning Commission is developing the findings and conclusions that the City Code requires accompany the recommendation back to the City Council. I'm not quite sure when the Planning Commission will make its recommendation. I'm still planning on getting this, or hoping that this gets before you sometime in October. Our current resolution, in terms of when we expected the plan to be updated that we sent to the Department of Commerce, identifies September 29th as our hopeful adoption date. Obviously, we're not going to make that. And what I'm going to suggest is that even though we could pass a new resolution next week, I'm going to suggest that we come back to you on October 6th with a resolution at that point in time, because really, that next resolution where we identify a target date, I want to be the last resolution that you have to pass on this particular matter, and I'm going to have a much finer idea or when that timeline will be and when this can all be completed. Again, subject to the fact that you as a council may get public comment as well. But that's always been included or incorporated into the resolution. So that's basically where we are right now. Again, the document's getting edited. Hopefully a new comment or copy will be provided. And I really don't want to provide any new information or chapters to the council until we get that new document completed and done. So that is where we are right now. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions or comments, council? Again, as always, please, on behalf of the council and our community, thank the Planning Commission for all the work they're doing. And Mr. Osaki, thank you. Thank you. All right, the next item that we have on the agenda is unfinished business item number 3. This is AB 15-161, ordinance number 013-2015, amending MMC 2.32010, Planning Commission compensation, first reading. Mr. Bezel.
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah. This was last discussed on September 1st, 2015 with Council. They reviewed all the documents that staff provided. At that time, Council requested an ordinance be prepared, increasing the Planning Commission compensation by $25 per meeting to $75 per meeting. If it's our staff's already prepared that, it's before you this evening for your consideration. Should Council decide to act on this, staff's acting that it would be done by December 1st, 2015. So it could be included in the 2016 budget.
Okay. Thank you very much. Councilmember Guerin.
Thank you. And before I... listen, okay, very good. If there's no opposition, I think we could get this moving and actually do waive the second reading and do both if... council would be open to that. I don't know if council would be open to that, but I'd be fine doing it. From that standpoint, I will make a motion to waive two readings, waive council rules procedures requiring two readings of ordinance number 013-2015, which is this one. And we'll
second.
See if that flies.
We have a first from Councilmember Gehring, a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion to waive two readings? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion passes 6-0.
All right, in which, if I'm still yes. Before, and thank you, I move to adopt ordinance number 013-2015, amending Chapter 2.32 of the Monroe Municipal Code Planning Commission, Section 2.32.010, created membership compensation, providing for severability and establishing an effective date.
Second.
Right. We have a first from Councilmember Gehring, a second from Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. We'll now move on to unfinished business. This is not where we are. Let's move on to new business. This is new business item number 1, AB 15162, discussion impact fee deferral system. Mr. Osaki or Mr. Feilberg?
Thank you.
Let's go with Mr. Feilberg.
The legislature recently passed a new law that requires the implementation of an impact fee deferral system by municipalities that's required to be in place by September of 2016. The council in the past has talked about that. Staff has always been opposed to that in the past because of the problems of getting people to pay at the end. There are some mechanisms in state law that kind of help some of those issues. The request before the council right now is we'd like to have how many deferrals per applicant is allowed. You're required to do the first 20 for each individual applicant, but that's required by state law, but you can do more if you'd like. When it's deferred till is up for grabs, it's opening occupancy, final construction, or first sale of the property. You are allowed to include an administrative fee for the work done by city staff, handle that money, and things like that. When you want to start it, it's required to be started September 2016. We can start it earlier if you'd like. And also, do you want to have public meetings and things like that to discuss this with the public before you take any action? So I'd be looking for direction on those sorts of issues and then to bring things back to you in the future.
So I guess kind of open this, it would be valuable from a scheduling perspective this evening to understand number four. And from number four, which is when to implement, we can build backwards to public meeting. I recognize that you'll probably have questions on what other jurisdictions do and things along those lines. And so at a minimum this evening, I'd like to gain an understanding of item number four and item number five. And again, I anticipate bringing back more information on at least number one, two, and three. Councilmember Cutterback.
Just going to say, based on the letter we received from the superintendent of Monroe School Districts, and I mean, obviously their hope is that different cities are, you know, the school district crosses over boundaries outside the city limits, and they would prefer that it's handled the same. So I think that would be good information for us to know is what that looks like. And I think she also specified in there about having more discussion on it, on whether there's more than the 20 allowed and what that looks like. So I think we need to at least have discussion with the school district on what more than this letter to move forward to answer some of this and look at what other I guess it would be the county, trying to think what else it would be. There's no other city but the county.
Just the county.
You know, what they're looking at doing, and if at all possible, having a more cohesive look at it. So.
Okay, sounds good. So right now we have a request to see what the county's doing and see what that would mean to harmonize the two.
Possibly setting a meeting up with the school district because that's what they asked for further discussion on it. So,
okay. All right, Councilmember Gehring.
Yeah, I'm a little confused as to why the school district sent the letter. They're not eligible for impact fees at this particular time. Well, so I was trying to figure out why the weigh-in. Well, when they are eligible for them, obviously they'll be eligible for them, and we already have. The percentages and all that are already actually in place for when they are eligible. So I guess I was confused as to why they would care about deferrals, because if the percentage is already there and we're collecting impact fees, that will, when they are eligible, they'll get the money that's allotted. So I was trying to figure out what was the point of why do they care?
Yeah. Because eventually we will, and we're going to be setting direction that is going to be going forward.
At the end of the day, we need to come into compliance by September of 2016.
And I understand and so that.
By 2016, we may be collecting school impact fees.
They've got a two-year cycle.
Two-year cycle?
2015 and 2016.
So it would be
2015 and 2016. We're not collecting impact fees.
So it would be 2017.
Right.
Potentially.
But what the letter does is it does prompt us to enter into this conversation, and we can start it sooner. And I know that the council's expressed an interest in the past about economic development and being competitive with other jurisdictions. If the county, for example, has already started this process, that's something that would be consistent with the direction of this council in the past, is to understand what competitive jurisdictions are doing, so to speak, in the marketplace, and to be aware of that, and as necessary and as relevant for our own community, to make adjustments to our regulations and our rules. So, I'm not certain why, what exactly prompted this right now, except for the fact that it is something that we do need to work on, and so those are my thoughts.
And I'm fine with it. I didn't understand why weighing in on when we. I guess I didn't understand the letter from. What we're going to be collecting fees for them, and that's there's nothing that's to be done about. Either way, it's already there. So once they're eligible again, there's already fees. So I guess I was confused as. Yeah, I guess we need to have a conversation because I'd be interested to find out why they care. That's completely separate from, obviously we need to talk about this because we have to do it because it's the legislature. Two separate things. So,
okay.
So I look forward to that discussion with them whenever that may be. But, once they're eligible again, we already have it that the impact fees go to the schools. So.
Okay. All right. If Councilmember Cutterback.
Sorry, I just have one more comment. It might be nice to have public comment too, from the developers,
Yes. Yeah, totally.
And they would like to have, delays payment. Is it inspection? Is it, so I'd like some input or feedback on that also before we make that decision.
Okay. All right. So, unless there's feeling otherwise, what staff will do is we'll go back and take a look at what Snohomish County is doing. I think it would be reasonable maybe to take a look to see what the city of Snohomish is doing. We will answer those questions on limits on deferral per applicant, defer until administrative fees, and there may be some other things that spin off as a result of answering those questions. We'll come back with a memo in, an agenda bill in approximately 4 weeks. Would 4 weeks' time be enough for staff to do that review? Okay, so we'll come back in approximately 4 weeks, and we'll present what we've learned, and then what we'll do is then route back in through the Master Builders Association and, proceed from there with public comment and whatnot. Does that sound acceptable?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's what we'll do. Thank you very much. The next item that we have on the agenda is new business item number 2. This is AB 15-163, authorization to add an FTE, front desk administrative clerk, police department chief.
The department is requesting to fill the unfunded administrative clerk's position for the front desk of the police department. The department has had a temporary part-time employee in this position since March 2015. This assignment is going to end September 30th, 2015. With the increasing demands on administrative staff workload and a full-time position is needed at the front desk to appropriately respond to public phone calls, lobby contacts, and administrative needs of the public. This position will be funded out of the 0.1% sales tax revenues for law enforcement. The impact for 2015 is $24,248.56. In 2016, the salary and benefits will be $69,397 out of the 0.1% sales tax.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Move to authorize the addition of a full-time employee, front desk administrative clerk, police department.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is under final action. This is final action number 1, AB 15-164, resolution number 015-2015, establishing downtown parking regulations. Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you. Following the change in downtown parking time restrictions to the 4 hours in some areas and 2 hours in other areas, one of the residents downtown came and requested the county council do something about people who work different shifts or if they carpool to work and things like that, want to be able to move their car sufficiently to avoid staying in their 4 hour welcome. I think I captured the streets that you'd like. It would be North Blakely, West Hill, East Hill, Fremont Street, and South Ferry, and North Blakely, sort of their twice. That would be the areas that would you'd be allowed to park for longer than the restricted time if you had a parking permit. There's a sample showing of what a parking permit would look like. And then initially, rather than doing a extremely formal process of establishing how the permits would be issued and who's eligible, to leave it more just general, the way it's shown on the attachment there, and then see how that works. And as we've seen with parking restrictions in the past, usually set something up and someone pops in, you know, a month later and wants some changes to be done. So have it done this way for the initial period of, say, 6 months, and then formalize it into an ordinance after that time when kind of all the kinks have been worked out of it. So that's my presentation. If anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Felberg. Councilmember Cutterback.
How are you letting residents know this is going to be available?
We would just notify them, the people who live along. Basically, it's the people who would be eligible for it, the people who have apartments on West and East Main Street.
So you're gonna mail out something
mail
to the
doorknob on something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. We have a hard time with mail downtown. Most of it comes back. So
it might be helpful to let the building owners know. Yeah. They can get the word out to residents.
Maybe the Monroe Monitor might do something on it.
What?
Maybe the Monroe Monitor might.
All right, Council. Is there a motion or additional questions? Councilmember Hanford.
Move to adopt resolution number 015-2015, establishing parking restrictions in the city of Monroe and repealing resolution number 13-2015.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Cutterback. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. We're going to go on to Councilmember reports. We're going to start off with the City Council Legislative Affairs Committee. Councilmember Davis.
So the Legislative Affairs Committee did meet today, and basically what we did was we went over and everybody got a copy of the last year's priorities. What we did was we went through all of these, and they all still are standing in need. So basically recommending that we just move these forward to 2016. If you do have any other priorities or any ideas, just ask that you let the mayor or us know. We will be meeting again in October, and we can just add anything to this. The mayor went through these, and his goal is to start that conversation early before the beginning of the next year, and so that. So that we've got a good dialogue going with our legislators. And the one thing we talked about at the next meeting is actually sitting down and looking at some of these and prioritizing them. Some of them have been on the list for a long time, probably will continue to be on the list for a long time. So take a look at it and see if we can't prioritize a little bit better. Things that we might be able to move on that might have a little more import. So anyway, so these are the priorities that we're looking at. If you have anything else, we're still open. It's still open for any suggestions. We can add those to the list.
Sounds good. And the process for this will be like in previous years, where this will come back to the council for an official adoption. We had discussed also about how this is a living document, if you will, and as things change, even if you were to adopt this earlier than we have in previous years, like we'll pretend November, it's still a living document. Adjustments can be made, and when we go to the AWC lobby days in January and what have you, we can modify things if necessary. Councilmember Gehring and then Councilmember Cutterback.
Thanks. The only other one that I would add that we had talked about previously was the use of the Highway 2 bypass area. I think we had asked Senator Pearson about that. Oh, wait, it's already in. Okay, I guess I didn't see that. Never mind, it's already there. And I also I did speak to Senator Pearson within the last week. They are already doing stuff, capital. I mean, work is beginning for the next legislative session already, so the sooner we can, I don't think we need to wait on these. We should get these to him ASAP. I think January is too late to give him these. We need to give them to him before the end of the year.
And by next month,
I would think. So anyway, my suggestion there. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
That's what I was going to suggest is as soon as we have these approved, get them out and get them to their aides.
Yeah.
And then ask for maybe if updates as they come on, you know. One of the things I ask for is that we pull this out periodically, whether it's every 2 months, and kind of look at where we at with it, what's happening, and the aides would definitely give us updates, I would think.
And based on experience in other places, it's typical that when you have a lobbyist, and we do have a lobbyist RFP still out there,
yeah.
And certainly Jean can give you an update on that. But when we do have a lobbyist, we'll be able to get updates from them very much like we do our real estate agent on North Kelsey from time to time. So that is something that I would anticipate happening on a regular basis during session and then a little bit less regular outside of session. But
I just have one more comment on the liquor tax to cities, and I brought this up to Councilmember Davis that I thought there was some movement on that and that there was a change, so if we can get an update on if there's any revenue coming to us, I'd appreciate that before we conclude this, if that has been resolved or there was movement.
Yes, staff, during the meeting, that was one of the things that we talked about is staff looking at that item, and I think there was another item where we thought there might have been just a follow-up, and that was streamlined sales tax, but I thought also that I recalled there being some sort of movement on the liquor tax.
Yeah.
But Jean will be looking into the liquor tax and the streamlined sales tax in the next week or two. And then be getting back to the committee. They'll meet in October, so we'll get back to the committee on those details. A couple of the other things that we talked about, if I may, Chair.
Sure.
We also talked about how right now we're allowed to use $100,000 per year of REIT to help fund O&M out of the Parks Department. That goes away at the end of 2016. And I'm aware that some jurisdictions are already interested in making an ask that that use of REIT be extended into future years, presumably temporarily. There is an opportunity cost to doing that. The reason why you collect REIT is so that you can build capital projects. If you, if the state decides to allow that to continue, then if the city opted to continue to do what we're doing right now, which is use it for O&M, then that just means we're not using the money for capital. So right now our five-year forecast is presuming that we will not be using the $100,000 REIT, but that's something that, like I said, if you want the flexibility, that's something that could be added to the agenda. And I think that was the only other sort of legislative thing that I could think of that was city-related that that I've heard blowing around in the wind. You were at a MAG meeting today. Was there anything else? Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. Did you have anything for me?
No, that's it.
Okay. So let's go to individual council member reports then. Thank you very much, Council Member Davis. Council Member Gehring.
Thank you. Sports time's kicking off. Another awesome win by the Bearcats on Friday night. It was a lot of fun to watch them. A couple away games in a row here, but I think the next one's actually homecoming, but it's just such a fun community event. Always have a blast doing it. Volleyball started tonight officially, and I was excited to see my daughter play for the freshman team tonight, defeating Mount Vernon. It was a lot of fun. And varsity's actually probably still playing. Hopefully they've wrapped that up by now as well. Also, I learned recently that while out just outside the city limits, that there is a mosque opening in our community out on Old Owen Road, where the Old Monroe Community Chapel and Eastlake Church used to be. And I understand there may be an article in the Monitor about that sometime soon. So had some people, I at least had seen some social media queries in relation to that. And I just thought that was very interesting. I think the first of its type, certainly in this part of the county. And so I think that's certainly of note, and I look forward to learning more about it.
Yeah, thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, Friday was great. It was the defeat of the Red Menace of a different variety. The chief calls defeating the fire department, the Red Menace. But as a graduate of Arlington High School, we're kind of familiar with whooping up on Stanwood. So it was nice to see Monroe continue that tradition. It was a great night. The following day was a day of youth football for the Monroe youth football team, which I think that's what's great on the Friday nights, is seeing all of the Monroe youth football boys out there in all their jerseys and being the ball boys, and it's just become just a great community event across the board. 89ers and our juniors both won, being Lake Stevens and Sultan. Just as a side note, had the car breakdown on Highway 9 going to the game. But fortunately, we have lots of great businesses in the city of Monroe. We towed it to Streamline Auto over there off of Ty Street. The owner, Al, took care of us. And what we thought was going to be a pretty significant bill, they were able to deduce down to just a faulty wire. Something went out. It only cost us a couple $100. And, so they just did a great job. So I wanted to call that out. And then I'm sure the chief will touch on it, the police and fire football game, we had to defend the title this Saturday. And I'm thinking, chief, that you're guaranteed to win, because I think my daughter sang the Star Spangled Banner last year, and he won, and she's going to do it again, just so you guys can kind of guarantee the win for you. So there you go.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
Nothing to say.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Yes. First full week of school, completely in session. Personally and professionally, it's awesome. It's so quiet. Saturday, big game coming up. Monroe High School Stadium, noon, gates open 11. Talking to both police and fire department, the police tend to talk a lot, so let's hope that they can show it out on the field this year. Again. That's all I have.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
No comment.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
No comment.
Thank you. Out to staff. Mr. Worthen.
I'm just going to let that hang out there.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Farrell.
Thank you, Mayor. Last Saturday was the National Day of Service, and there were over 100 volunteers that were organized by the Just Serve Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And they were working on Chain Lake Road, along Turney Place, and also in El Borland, the roadway and trails and the shorelines. And so we appreciate the volunteerism there. We have scheduled another volunteer service day this Thursday with 20 volunteers from Mainview Homes. They're going to be working at Sky River Park and at Rotary Field on various projects. So I'll give you an update after next week on how that went. Then, of course, last Saturday was the Swift Night Out event, and I know the turnout was great. I don't have any figures on what the estimated attendance was, but a good time was had by all there. And then this Saturday is scheduled the Beer, Bacon, Barbecue Band's car show this Saturday. And that's at the grocery outlet parking lot from 10 a.m. to about 7 a.m.
Bacon.
And then last, I want to let you know, we understand that the farmer's market has been very successful this year. Molly Daniels is the person that has organized this event, and it's called Farm Table, and operating on Wednesdays there at Travers Park and Street and part of the grocery out in the parking lot. Well, due to the great organization of the event, the great turnout, they've outgrown that area, so they actually had to put an end to their season a little bit early this year. However, they're going to have an event called the Harvest Festival to kind of put a little exclamation point at the end of their successful season, and that's going to be at Lake Tide Park on October 17th. So we're working with them on that event. They'll be from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday, October 17th. And then we're working with the Farm Table for next year to assist them with finding a suitable event space that will meet their size and needs. So.
It's really unfortunate that they had to end early. sorry, earlier than they expected, but it's also a blessing. I mean, we had so many people come out to this, and she spoke with me last week about some of the concerns that she had heard. I'm very happy that staff was able to meet with her on Friday morning and start identifying alternate locations. The farmers market is something we really enjoy here in town. So anyway, we'll keep you posted as we learn new things on that. All right, Ms. Haley.
Well, you already had our update from Joe Rosado. I'll continue to support her and her progress and do some research and look into all the things that she talked about.
So you can give us a little bit more of an idea. What's a typical number of people that come through here on a Wednesday? When you hold court?
It varies. Every other week is different. Every other week we have an infraction hearing to add it. So typically tomorrow, I think there's, with the combination of the criminal cases and the infractions, probably there's going to be 80 people on the calendar.
And is that the high Wednesday or is that the low Wednesday?
That's the high one. It has gone up over 100.
Okay.
The low one is 50 or 40 or 50.
Okay.
So, and we do offer hearings by mail, so you have to add those on top. So those are the hearing, but they're judicial time that she has to take to review their written statement. So most of the time, the calendar isn't here.
Okay. I understand that we had one day and it was good weather outside. But we had people lined up not only in the lobby, but also outside. So there, we have a lot of people that come through here on Wednesdays for court. And that's something just for everybody to be aware of. There's been a little bit of discussion, I think, about the potential from time to time having to do 2 days in a week because of the facilities, but also because of labor, i.e. one judge and so much staff. So, yep. Thank you very much. Mr. Osaki.
Well, this Thursday, I have a new staff person. It's a new planner will be on board, which replaces the vacancy we've had for about the last 2.5 months when they call them up. So even though it takes a while for people to learn the codes, it's good to be fully staffed. And this person has a good background on code improvements and process improvements. And it's something our department really wants to focus on in terms of permit enhancement and customer relations. In terms of how our codes can be improved in that. So at a minimum, we'll be able to get a better handle on that particular aspect of what we've always wanted to do. And over time, as she learns the codes, we'll get back to permitting and plan review and all of those things at a fully staff level. So needless to say, I'm a very happy person.
Yeah, and Dave came in and found himself just one person within a month of him getting here. New and yet putting in significantly more than 40 hours a week getting everything done. I thank Dave very much for sticking to it and pulling through this. He's finished up, gotten the comp plan to where it is today, taking care of a number of other projects, and I know we have other things that we'd like to do, like the permit center, you know, coordination and changes in code and everything, and now that we have the other two planners back, one hired and Melissa back, of course, we will be proceeding with those other things that we talked about earlier this year. So, Dave, publicly, I thank you very much for all the work that you've done to keep things together through this time. So thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, you just stole my thunder. I was just sitting here thinking, wow, we are very fortunate and blessed to have you on board. So thank you very much for all your help.
Thank you. All right. Anything further, Mr. Osaki? Okay. Chief.
Last Thursday, I attended the graduation of Criminal Justice Academy for Officer Sean Van Eaton, and this was his second time through. Some of you may remember that he severely injured Achilles tendon. So we had Sean man our front desk for a little over, real close to a year. And so he went through the academy again, they really liked him down there. In fact, that when we were giving him his certificate, and the director of the Criminal Justice Academy asked me if he could go through again. I said, no, twice as much. received several honors. The first honor they received was in marksmanship. He was the top marksman in the class. And the second one is a very special one where the class members vote on who they would like to have one member of their class as a partner in any type of situation. And he received that honor too. So that was very special. Tonight was our first night for Citizens Academy. The last night will be November 24th. It's a long time away, but we have a full class there, and I greet them tonight and I look for a very successful academy class here. So now I need to probably address some rumors going on. First one is that many of you have heard the reasons or the discussion about District 3 merging with District 7 Fire District. I don't know what reasons they gave, but the real reason is they don't have any football players. You get that. So because of that, we have contacted the Seattle Seahawks and asked we could make their taxi squad honorary reserve Monroe police officers. They're taking it under consideration. So maybe not this year, but next year could be a very interesting football game.
There we go.
I hope to see you all there, by the way.
Thank you, Chief. Mr. Feinberg.
I have nothing tonight.
Are you sure? No, I'm just kidding. Okay. For me, let me see. My wife donated blood on Saturday, and so I was able to visit with folks at the mosque that Councilmember Gehring spoke of. They moved in on Sunday. They did purchase the property. And they have a few hundred members of their congregation within their membership. I visit with them in late August when they were interested in acquiring the property. And when I met with them, they had questions about the schools in the area, transportation, and housing, and just a lot of the questions that that people have when they're interested in moving somewhere. I understand that the mosque is being relocated from Linwood to just outside of our city limits, that they outgrew the space that they had in Linwood. And so my wife gave blood there, and I had an opportunity to visit with some of the folks that were there. Saturday night, I attended Swift Night Out, and it was great seeing the birds flying around. Friday last week, I worked on budget with staff for the afternoon. Thursday last week, we had budget and some other things. Was there anything that I'm missing? Not that I can think of in particular. And I think that's it for right now. I would encourage everybody to come out to the football game this Saturday. And I heard beer, bacon, and something is this Saturday too? Okay. Is that before the...
What time's yours?
Noon. What time's the...
You can go after it.
After. Yeah. Okay, and then the Evergreen is having its thing. So, okay, it's going to be a busy Saturday.
Chief, I assume you're offering free rides and firefighters to the beer before the game?
No, we're offering rides to the Evergreen...
to the hospital.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and go to Mr. Brazel now. Mr. Brazel.
Thank you, Mayor. Real quick, lobbyist services, RFP, we've received one, and we've got confirmation for two other applicants that they will be submitting an RFP as well. So we anticipate having three for the council committee to reveal. I also wanted to just thank City Attorney for the incredible job he does for the city. He puts in countless hours for us tonight, for one. Just appreciate what you do, especially helping me along. So
thank you very much. Appreciate that.
The draft agenda for September 22nd, 2015. We have a public hearing declaring IT equipment surplus. Me and Francis will be here under announcements and presentations, along with confirmation of Planning Commission appointment.
packet still. Under unfinished business, we have the Cable Week Park Agreement Addendum, and that has already been communicated to H3O that that is on the agenda. We have the 2015 Comprehensive Plan Update, and we took care of final action number one, so that is not on the agenda. And we have a land sales update. Additions or deletions?
We'll add to a future agenda that the impact fee discussion for the 2016
date.
Yeah, the deferral. Okay, are there any other additions or deletions? One thing that I would like to do, and I'd like to try to get this done next week if I can, if indeed all seven of you are here, I'd like to try to get a picture. I don't think that in the time that I served here previously, or certainly now that I've seen a picture with all seven of you and the mayor. And so will all of you plan on being here next week? Okay, so what I'm hoping, weather permitting, is to be able to go out and just take a picture out here, maybe in front of the sign or something.
Sure.
With the eight of us. And so I just, if you all could be aware of that and be timely, that would be helpful in doing that. So I understand football. It's okay.
What are you looking at me for?
No, I looked at you because you were making eye contact with me.
I gotcha.
So I just exchanged. All right. I think that, do we have anything further for this? Okay, there being no other action, Councilmember Gehring.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Gehring, a second from Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening. I appreciate it.
You kill it.